Proverbs chapter 1. One of the things that, you know, we've been really praying about as we are traveling around and reporting to churches through this year, it's been about 11 months now. We're getting ready to head back in a little over 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, something like that. One of our big prayers and desires is that God would use us to encourage the churches we're in as far as the needs of missions in general, but also specifically of the needs of the people in Papua New Guinea. It is one of those burdens on our heart when we see so many open doors. You know, you come, I'm not by any means trying to say that countries where the people are very hardened against the gospel, that they don't need missionaries, okay? So don't get the wrong impression. But at the same time, when we go into a place like New Guinea, and you can literally stand up almost anywhere and start preaching, and people will gather around you to listen to what you have to say, it is a huge blessing just that there are so many open doors. In that, just to let it be clear, the people of New Guinea are not the type of people that, you know, they hear somebody preach the gospel and instantly everybody's coming forward and wanting to get saved. That is not the way it is. If you see that happening, which sometimes when people will hold a campaign and they'll put high pressure on them, you can get people to come forward, but it's just, you know, they're wanting to impress you, basically. What's happened is the people are very tender or how would I say this? They believe in God in general, okay? So their general belief in God and their general superstitious nature means that they think many times that you come and listen to somebody preach and somehow I'm going to gain merit with God. That's kind of their thought. Their superstitious mindset is saying, I'm going to impress God by coming and listening. And there's a curiosity, especially if you're a foreigner, they want to hear what the foreigner has to say. So I'm saying that to help you not to get a wrong impression. It's not that people are coming in droves to get saved. I wish that were the case. But they've heard basically a false message of salvation for so many years, telling them all the different laws they need to keep or rules they need to keep or all these things that they need to do in order to be saved. And so when we present to them the gospel, which is believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and nothing else, that takes them a while to be able to swallow that, to where they'll not try to add anything to salvation. Having said that, okay, I'm giving a long introduction here, but having said that, the blessing is that we see so many open doors, because if a person is going to get saved, they have to first hear the gospel. So maybe they're coming for the wrong reasons. Maybe they aren't accepting it right away. But the point is, with them being willing to come and hear, that allows the word of God to start working in their hearts. And even though it may take, in some cases, several years of somebody hearing the gospel again and again and again before they accept Christ, the exciting thing is they're willing to come and keep on hearing. And because of that, the rate of, or I should say the number of people that end up getting saved in a given period of time ends up being more in a place like New Guinea. It's such a blessing because we have people from our neighboring villages asking us, saying, we want missionaries to come over. Will you send somebody? And I say, well, first of all, I'm not the person that sends the missionary. But secondly, we need to be praying. There's nobody that I know right now that can come and start a church in your village. So you need to be praying. And honestly, this ties into what we're going to be talking about this morning, and that when people look at ministry, full-time ministry, when they look at missionary work, sometimes people instantly look at that, especially like a country such as New Guinea, and they look at that and it seems very overwhelming to them. They look at it and say, there's no way that I could go over to a country like that and learn a new language and learn to eat all those different foods and learn all the different cultures. And I don't think I could be away from my family. And, you know, the kids only see their grandkids once every 5 years. You know, I don't think I could do that. So in essence, sometimes even though God is working in somebody's heart and trying to convince them, you need to go do that, God's wanting to send missionaries to places like New Guinea. And yet sometimes the difficulty of that, or maybe the mistrust in God, is what causes them to shut things off and say, that's great for other people to go, but not me. And I don't know what God's direction is for your lives, okay? I don't. I do know that the same principle of looking at God's wisdom and recognizing that God's wisdom is always best. That principle is the same principle that can help our family when we're over in New Guinea to stay on the right track and trust God going back to a country that now where our village is on the brink of war again with the next village over. Looking at situations like that and honestly being a little bit afraid. You know, there's just that little bit of, I don't know how we're going to handle all this. There's lots of different things going on. When we can look at those things and know, but God has called me to do it. This is God's wisdom directing us to go over there. So His way really is going to be best. That principle is a principle that each one of us need to be applying in our lives on a day-to-day basis. So that whatever God calls us to do, whether it be something that we would consider little, or whether it's something that we would consider very difficult, that we will be ready to obey Him. Long introduction. Let's go to chapter 1. We're going to read some verses here. So Proverbs 1, and we're going to read verse 20. Verse 20. It says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." I want us to start off by recognizing this principle, especially it's really noted in the book of Proverbs here, that God wants to show each one of us His wisdom. To me, that's an exciting thing. The fact that God is desirous to take His wisdom, which is vast and unlimited, and He wants to give that to me, the plain, ordinary person, the nobody that really doesn't have any special skills. God wants to take and put that into me. God wants to show me what His perfect will is. God wants to show me His wisdom. Here, wisdom is personified, but God's saying, it's as if my wisdom is calling and crying out, not just one of those things. It's not like a hide and seek sort of a thing where God's hiding His wisdom somewhere and only the elite Christians can find it. This is a matter of wisdom calling out, crying out, saying, I want to teach you. God's desire is to show me and to show you what His wisdom is. But then let's just jump down to chapter 2. We're actually going to come back to this in a minute, but I want us to see a principle right now. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive," verse 1, "if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Keep that thought in there of seeking and go back to the previous chapter again, chapter 1, verse 24, right where we left off. I should have read that first. I'm sorry. Verse 24, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsels and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." The principle that I want us to go from, first of all, is that God wants to show every single one of us His wisdom. So God is an all-wise God that says, I want to show you ignorant people down here that really don't know how to do life right because the sin nature has corrupted you. You don't know the right choices to make, but I want to show you. But then the requirement that God has is that, as we see, combining the verse 24, but then also in chapter 2 where we read, God wants you and I to be willing to receive His wisdom, to not just say, well, God comes in and in essence beats me over the head with a piece of His wisdom, then I'll obey Him, but otherwise I'm going to keep on going to what I think is best. God is calling out and wanting us to seek, God is calling out and wanting us to hear His wisdom. But my response needs to be in a response of seeking. So I'm wanting us to balance that because God's not trying to hide His wisdom, but God wants it to be where I am longing for His wisdom, that I know that I need His wisdom. Sometimes when we think that we've got everything figured out, we think we know everything, the right choices to make in our life, we don't seek God's wisdom as much. I've found that sometimes as we're as we're growing in our Christian life, unfortunately, it can be easy to look at, how would I say this? Basically, we get used to what is a right thing to do. In other words, we're not dealing with sin in its blatant form. We're dealing with a bunch of good choices. So we come into a day and we have several good choices that we can make. And I think sometimes, because we recognize them as good choices, we sometimes think, well, I can just kind of pick and choose among them. God doesn't care which one I do. I can, whatever I want to do, as long as I'm not blatantly sinning against Him, and I can do whatever I want to do. And I believe, as we look through the Bible, God doesn't just want to show us what is sin in a blatant defiance of God and what is not defying God. In other words, what is not a direct sin. God wants to take all those things that are good things and show me, what does He want me to do? What is the right and best thing for me to do that day? To me, that is encouraging. God wants to not just show me, okay, avoid that evil thing over here, but God wants me to help to decide among the good things what is the right thing for me personally to do. But in order to do that, I've got to have a recognition that my wisdom isn't good enough to choose between those things. I think of an illustration. For some of you that don't know, my parents were missionaries when I was growing up. So I was a missionary kid in New Guinea, actually, from the time I was 2 years old through to when I was 9 years old. And at 9 years old, my dad got really sick with malaria, and so he had 12 different times. So we had to leave New Guinea, and we moved to Australia. So I got to Australia, and I think I was 10 and a half, something like that, and lived through until I was 18 years old, graduated from high school there, then came back to the United States. So I was raised a good portion, 8 years over there in Australia. And there was one time we went out to visit a friend of my parents that lived more towards the outback. We were in the city, and so we drove out of town, and he had a sheep farm out there. And it was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's rugged. It's a little bit more on the edge of the desert, but not so far on the edge of the desert. There's no trees. There was a section of the bush that my parents just let us go out in. It was actually quite hilly. You wouldn't think of the outback being hilly, but that particular section was very hilly, and they just let us go out there and explore. I have no clue why, because we didn't have any GPS, any way of getting back. I don't know, but they let us just go out there and explore. And we had a time. It was me and my two other brothers. We had a great time. We were just exploring. We spent several hours out there just looking at all the things. It was a new landscape for us. It was beautiful. And then we saw the sun was starting to come down. We realized, okay, it's time, we need to be heading back towards home. And we said, okay, let's head back. And we all assumed we were in all the right direction. We headed back. Well, you ask my wife, I am terrible at directions. I don't know, maybe they were listening to me. All I know is after about half an hour of walking how we thought we were heading towards home, we ended up at the exact same spot that we had started off. We'd start up this particular great big rock. We did a full circle, and we ended up right back there again after half an hour of walking. Well, that is a little bit of a terrifying feeling when you realize you've been doing your best trying to figure out how to make your way back, and then you end up in the same spot. I'd never done that before, doing that circling back on myself. And it was at that point where I said, okay, we've got to do something different. I can't trust my own instincts as far as direction goes. We've got to figure out something else. And fortunately, I think one of my brothers suggested we at least look at the sun so that we know that we're always keeping the sun on a certain side. At least if we go in a straight line, we'll probably hit a fence or a river or something to where we can make our way out. And actually, I think it was only another half an hour and we made it out. It wasn't a big, horrible thing in the end. But I just remember that terrifying feeling of circling back and realizing I had tried my hardest, and here I was right back where I had started. And the illustration that I want, or the application I want us to see from that illustration is this. Many times in our own life, we think we've got everything all figured out. We think we're making wise decisions, good choices, but we're leaving God out of the picture. And the only reason we're going to start seeking God specifically and saying, God, how do you specifically want to guide me today? Exactly what is it that you want me to do with these hours that I have in this day? We're not going to want to do that until we recognize that my way is not best. it is only God's way that is going to be best. And that's what I want us to kind of shift gears just a little bit. And I want to look at two principles that we can see throughout these chapters. I'll be fairly quick on them. Two principles that should help us as Christians to recognize that God's way truly is the best way. That my way is not best, that God's way is the one that I need to rely on, even when it doesn't make sense. Because there are some times when we look at God's direction and it doesn't make sense to us. Maybe it doesn't make sense because that doesn't seem the safest way, or it doesn't seem the wisest way financially, or it doesn't seem the best way in some other way. But we need to say, well, I can't trust my own wisdom, but how do we know that we can trust God? I want us to look at two principles here. Number one, we can trust God's way. God's way is best because God knows the dangers ahead. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 31. And God's going to tell us some of the dangers of following our own way. Verse 30. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my proof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, once again, I know that probably none of you here would look at yourself and you would say, I'm definitely right there in how God is describing somebody as a fool. Many times we don't want to look at ourselves as a fool, especially if we look at our Christian life in general saying, well, I'm pretty much doing good things. I'm not, you know, off into doing something terrible. So this just doesn't apply to me. Once again, I will really encourage you to take the application down to not just the blatant, you know, clear sins, you know, immorality and lying and stealing, but coming down to when I have a choice to make, am I seeking what God says is best? And then am I willing to do what He told me to do? Am I willing to seek God at the beginning of each day and say, God, what is it that you want me to do today? What is the right path for today? Maybe it's something, a bigger decision, maybe a ministry that God wants you to get involved in. Maybe it's somebody like a relative you need to talk to about the Lord. But the point is, we can trust God because He knows the dangers ahead. To me, this is very encouraging as a missionary working overseas, because there are so many actions that we make. We do these things and we don't know what the long-term consequences are going to be. We try to make wise decisions. We try to say, well, if I do this, this is how it might affect the future. And we ought to. We ought to be thinking ahead. We ought to be using the wisdom that God's given us. However, that wisdom is still limited because I can't see in the future. I mean, in other words, I need to, if God has shown me something, for instance, maybe He's helped me to see when another missionary has done this certain thing. Let me just give you a for instance, so it makes more sense. We have to be very careful over in New Guinea with how we try to help people, especially financially, because it's a very poor country. There are needs all around us. And some missionaries go into a place like that and instantly are wanting to just hand out money right and left because, oh, I can help this person and they have a need, I can help them. And the church needs, X number of things, so I'll just give. And it looks good. It looks good from from what you see right then. The people are happy, and you look at it, and the Bible says you're supposed to be giving, so it looks like a good thing. Unfortunately, sometimes the missionaries will forget the other principle that they ought to be working on, is to help the people grow in their Christian life and also grow to be mature so they're depending on God for their needs and not learning dependence on the Americans. For every time I have a need, I need to run to them and they can solve all of my needs. And what I'm saying is, one of the things that the Lord has had to teach us is to be very careful to seek His wisdom exactly when and how we should help people. Because sometimes give, all that it does is develops that attitude of dependence on the missionary instead of a dependence on God. And it's actually, in the long run, can be hurting them. Now, that's an illustration that has nothing to do with what we're talking about here, other than that God knows how my action today is going to affect other people and my life 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I can't always see those things. I maybe can look at other people. I can't see all those things. And yet, God does know. So when God works in my heart and says, this is not the right thing to do, I need to be willing to trust Him because He can see what I can't see. He can see the danger that I can't see. There are some times when the Lord just kind of makes us feel uncomfortable about something that we want to do and that looks good. And maybe even other Christians are saying, this looks like a wise decision, but God is not giving us peace about going ahead with that. We've got to, of course, listen to counsel, but the main person that we've got to be listening to is the Lord, because He can see things that we can't. There have been times when we have made decisions that, humanly speaking, they seemed kind of foolish at the time. But later on, we realized how God had worked and how God had known what was in the future. There was a time when we were heading into town. This was probably back in 2011. We were getting ready to head into town for a trip. We try to only go to town every 2 months because of it's such a big ordeal getting into town, and takes us a long time doing all of shopping, so we like to stay 2 months at a time back in the village. So we had planned this trip, and we were going to be for a few days in town. But just before we left, my wife came to me and she said, I don't know why, but I think we need to take our passports into town. Well, you don't really want to take a government-issued identification like a passport into town with you if you can help it, because if you get held up or your bag gets snatched from you, then it's a huge complicated process to replace that. But we thought about it, prayed about it, said, okay, well, if that's what God wants to do, let's just take them. That'll be fine. Take it, get into town. We got a care package in the mail, and we still don't know exactly what it was, but after eating some things out of the care package, my wife went into a very extreme allergic reaction. We took her to the clinic. Her blood pressure and everything was dropping. They kept on giving her epinephrine. She ended up, at the end of the day, she had to be medevaced down to Australia. If we would not have had those passports with us, I would have had to drive all the way back to the village. It would have taken so long to drive back to the village and get back with the passports. She probably would not have been able to make it. But we had the passports right there. We were able to arrange the medevac flight. She got down there. Everything was fine. Once again, looking at that, I couldn't see the future. It didn't make sense humanly, and yet to know, God knows the future. He knows what's going to happen, and even when it doesn't make sense, I can trust God to work out the details. In a more practical area, when God tells me to do something with my money, even when it doesn't make financial sense, let's say God tells me I need to give more money to a certain of course we should be tithing, but then maybe it's something extra, a family in need or something like that. And maybe it doesn't make financial sense. We say, well, I've got these bills to pay. The point is, we can trust God because God is the one that knows the future. He knows the dangers ahead. He knows that if I do things His way, He's going to take care of the needs that I have. There are so many ways we can apply this. But the main principle I want us to see is that in every single decision, we ought to be willing to trust God because He is the one that knows the dangers ahead. He knows what is ahead of us. The second thing I want us to see here is that, and related to this, God's way is best because He knows what is truly best for me. Chapter 3, I'm going to have us read just several verses, but all in the same chapter. So if you go to that, we're going to kind of see some of the blessings that God outlines when we follow His wisdom. So chapter 3, verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So the idea of God's favor and the favor of men. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God's talking about the fact of following God will affect our physical health. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, you honor me with your belongings. You follow my wisdom in your finances. I will bless you. Verse 23, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely and thy foot shall not stumble. And then verse 24 as well, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. This is just in this one chapter, but I was amazed at how many times, first of all, the Lord is trying to tell us, you need to follow my wisdom. But then it's almost as if he's foreseeing that we're going to tend to argue back and say, but I've got things all figured out. It makes sense to me why I should do this and this and this. And God is trying to convince us now, saying, first of all, I know what's in the future. You do it your own way. I know what's going to happen. I know how much you're going to destroy yourself. Even if it looks good, your way, you don't have the wisdom. You can't see in the future. But then God's saying, I know I can bless you. I know the blessings that I want to give you. So in essence, I know the negative that will come by doing it your own way. But also, I know the positive blessings that will come when we do it, when you do it my way. God's trying to tell us here. When it comes down to application to each one of us, I know it's a very simple application. But I want to challenge you to think through decisions that you've been making. And ask yourself, first of all, have you been making decisions based on what makes logical sense or what you feel like doing instead of decisions based on the fact that, yes, this is what I know God wants me to do? Because once again, maybe we don't see the negative consequences right away. Maybe we don't see the blessings right away. But God has promised blessings when we follow what he wants. He's also promised that if we do it our own way, there will be negative consequences. Maybe some of them we won't see till we get to heaven. Maybe the lost rewards in heaven. But God says there is going to be negative consequences when I do it my own way. Because my way, I can't see what's ahead. I can't see all the ways that this could hurt me. I need to be willing to say, God, I will trust you, that your wisdom truly is best. So if God is directing my family in particular, we're heading back over to New Guinea in a few weeks, I can look at this and rest in this promise, knowing that it doesn't matter what craziness we're heading for over there. If that's what God wants us to do, he's going to give us the help to be able to do that. He's going to give us the protection that we need. He knows what's ahead. So if he's telling us to go ahead, that really is best. And he knows the dangers ahead, but he knows how to handle those. He really knows everything. So I've got to be willing to just say, God, I'll put myself in your hands. You tell me what to do. And honestly, I'm saying that in a, you know, preaching at myself as well. Don't think that just because I'm a missionary that all of a sudden I automatically make all these decisions perfectly. I struggle with it just like you. You know, when things come up, I struggle with that issue of surrender back to God and say, God, am I going to keep doing what you told me to do? Am I going to handle it your way, even though I don't feel like handling it that way? We've got to still decide, is it true that God knows what the dangers are ahead? Yes, it's true. Is it true that God wants to bless me if I do it his way? Well, yes, that's true. Is it true that God knows everything? It is true. We've got to go back to those foundational principles and then make the decision. Am I going to trust what I know is true and rely on God's wisdom? Am I going to seek his wisdom, saying, God, I can't trust myself, but I sure can trust you? Or am I going to look at that and say, well, it doesn't make sense. I don't agree with it. So therefore, I am going to go with my own way because I think it makes sense. Once again, then we're risking fighting against what God wants. So the challenge in our lives, are we willing to say, God, I will do whatever you want. I will follow your wisdom because, God, I can trust you.